Positiva by Andreal Villarreal. My mother is a positive woman, which many of my friends who see her don't believe. She sometimes wears her black hair in a constricted tight bun, sometimes so tight you can't tell it's curly. Her stance includes her feet being planted dead center, emphasizing her curvy pear-shaped body. Her head might be cocked up a tad, and if you glance at her at the right time, you might see her stare off with eyebrows down and brown eyes bouncing off everything there. You might even see her frown, and her glare intimidates my friends near their core. What they don't notice is that when she's smiling, you could see her silver tooth that was a gift from her quinceañera. Her focus is majorly her confusion trying to understand. That shoulder tightens from her shyness. Her stiffness may grab her stance just a tad and pull her sleeves high enough to see two scars on the right shoulder from injections given at the age of 4. She very much loves to wear her black curly hair down. My mother is one of the quirkiest people you will ever meet if you talk to her, but being embarrassed of her accent and all, she might give you the introvert stance instead. Instead, I bring you some of her childhood stories she told me over the years. She wrote some, but none of it quite made it past me and some other people. Suerte. A girl in the 50s grew up in a small town in Jalisco, Mexico, where everyone placed their faith in its small Catholic church. Everyone there followed the priest's orders, and when she was young, she ran away with her boyfriend and got married in that same church. However, the priest was very much disappointed in the 17-year-old couple, and instead of wearing a beautiful white dress, the young bride was forced to wear a black dress and no shoes as a form of punishment. My grandmother very much wanted that to be hidden, so when my mother asked about her parents' wedding day, she was told the story. My grandmother afterwards tells her, "No le digas a nadie," don't tell anyone. For my mom, mal suerte, or bad luck, is always something she references. My mother never sensed mal suerte in that story. She never reasoned that it would be the reason why she would live in a town with no lights, no power. It wasn't why her mom would give birth to 9 children and have only 7 survive. It wasn't why they had dirt floors. It wasn't why she would stop going to school when she was young. And it wasn't the reason why she would see a man with foam out his mouth. Menudo. My mother had many brothers, which was hard since that meant more food must be bought. They didn't eat a ton, and they ate mostly frijoles, a word infamous to any Hispanic child, even me. They would all start to work later, but at the time it was only my grandma, Mama Andrea, my uncle, Tio Jorge, and my grandpa, Papa Jesus, working. Some days, my Tio Jorge would surprise my mom with some menudo. Did you bring me menudo, Jorge? My mother asked hopeful. Not this time, Prieta, responded my uncle. You can't get it right now. They would sell it in small discs with some meat, even fairly little, and some of the caldo. The vendors sold it at a cost seeming a bit unfair, but everyone understood they would consider doing the same. Even then, whenever my mom was brought menudo, she would take her time to finish it. She was so glad that she could eat her menudo. It was such a great break from eating beans, making her thin, especially around her ankles. Denise. In Jalisco, at least where my mom lives, kids would play outside in the streets since no cars passed. They'd play hide-and-seek at midnight, tell stories when it rained, and in general played a lot of the same games as kids in the U.S. However, unlike the U.S., kids usually paid hefty fees to go to school, and they paid each year to attend crammed classrooms. Lunch fees here are usually reduced if families have trouble paying with them, but they always stay the same over there. They can't. So many kids would have reduced fees. The thing my mom remembered most, though, would be their uniforms. Schoolgirls like her would wear nice polo shirts, skirts, sometimes plaid, and black school shoes with white long socks. My mom loved her uniform. It was a way for her to feel clean and educated. Girls would go to school in the morning, and boys would go to school in the afternoon. For the rest of the day, of course, she wouldn't wear her uniform, and instead of wearing shiny black shoes, she, and most children, would wear huaraches or sandals. However, one day, her parents and brother took her to get tennis, which is the sort for tennis shoes or sneakers. When my mom tried on a pair, she knew she really liked them. She walked around with them, and my mama Andrea asked specifically, "Do they fit for sure?" My mom naively said, "Yes, ma, me quedan." But the next day, her thin ankles felt so tightly compressed in her new tennis. She whined the whole day. "Ma," she cried, "mis pies duelen, my feet hurt." "Well, I asked you if they fit, and you said yes," my grandma responded. My mom, sadly at the time, didn't know how to tell if shoes fit. Her brother came in. "Why are you crying?" She continued whining and whining until they figured out how to fix the situation. They cut the front of her shoes, making her feet stick out. My mom, relieved, stopped crying. She was so happy to wear her new tennis. Tsuki. My mom had some pets, but she never really had pets. She didn't go out and get a pigeon. She didn't ask for a cat. They usually found them or someone gave it to them. My mom was given a pigeon from a neighbor, and she found that the cat in her drawer. She too, one day, found a white scraggly dog one day. She said he was her first fluffy dog. He had large black eyes and so much white, slightly dirty fur. They named him Tsuki, and was not an official pet of the Vargas, actually Tolentino, household. It was like the dog you played with but doesn't really live with you or is actually yours, but he was at the same time. They didn't necessarily feed him, but sometimes gave him small scraps like what he scrounges around for. They would play with him so much until one day he didn't come. After a while, my sad mother, aunt, and uncles would tell their mom, "No sabemos dónde se fue." They didn't know where he went. Later, they found that the dog catcher took their dog. They were so sad and begged their mom if they could get him back. "We don't have any money, mijos," my ma Andrea answered. But she saw their sad faces and gave in. My mother hustled to the pound with scrounged money to bail her children's technically not scrounged dog. My mom was laughing when she told me the story. "We didn't have any money to buy his food, but we had to save to get him out." Quemado. My grandpa worked constantly. Everyone in her family did, but it got to my grandpa. The tired elote man worked so much that he turned to something else. My mother was playing in the street with her brothers and friends. When my grandma went to work, she asked her husband to watch the kids. My grandpa was inside resting, and he was talking to some of his friends when he started to feel sleepy. On his mattress, he started to close his eyes, and he held something in his hand. My mother was still outside playing with her friends, probably marbles or sticks, but then they saw something. On the edge of the mattress, flames began to spread, and he finally noticed and started patting it down. When he finally extinguished it, all of the mattress remained except for one of the corners. "How lucky," my mom told me. "He barely didn't catch on fire." He had fallen asleep while smoking. When my grandmother came home, she scolded him. "You're supposed to watch the kids," she yelled. "How can you do this?" My mom frustratingly started to cry. Your parents fighting is sometimes too much. Everything gets too much, even for my mom. And even for my grandpa. Where are we going to sleep? Caldo de paloma. My mom really had nice neighbors, and one day, one of them gave her a pigeon. My mom loved this pigeon. Both my parents and I grew up having these birds, but our stories were a little different. My dad had brothers who would have pigeons that, if released, would always return. Some of my cousins in Mexico still have some. I had two pigeons that had eggs I wished hatched but never did. My dad released them without telling me, so you know I understand the betrayal of parents. However, it never came close to how my grandma scarred my mother. As I was saying, my mother was given a pigeon, a white one. It was gorgeous, and after school she would stare at it for a long time. My mother put on her plain polo, skirt, and black shiny shoes one morning and left for school. Adios, bye, paloma. When my mother got home from school, she thought that her brother had brought menudo. Instead, she was greeted with my grandmother making caldo. "Then, mija," Mama Andro told her. eat some caldo. My mom joyfully started eating her food, at least until she found something in her soup. With a spoon, she pulled a small bird leg from the warm disc. Foam. My grandpa was selling elotes as usual. My mother was with him. She was fine with going to work with him. They walked and walked for such a long time. They passed by many people they knew and some adults my mom recognized. They were walking their cart of elotes past a woman my mom recognized. My mom told me she was always sad, so when she passed by, I didn't think anything of it. When they turned the corner, my grandpa collapsed. My mom didn't know, didn't understand. The woman passing by started to cry. She just saw a man collapse in front of her his daughter, and her daughter didn't know what just happened. My mom just looked at the woman. Señora, why are you crying? The woman sobbed harder. My mom turned to her, head cocked up just a tad, asking, who died, señora? The woman kept crying, but finally told her, get your mom, mija. Get some help, run. So my mom ran for help. She got my grandma, and by the time she got back, all she saw was her 36-year-old alcoholic father, lying on the floor with white foam coming out his mouth. Work. After their dad died, my uncle started working. They all had to start working. Slowly, each of my mother's brothers stopped going to school and to provide for their struggling mother. Once my mom finished primary school or middle school, she stopped going to school. She gave up wearing her shiny black shoes to sell shoes. She began working in a shoe store and started dating my dad. They both stopped going to school past primary to provide for their mothers, both widowed when they were 8. However, the 17-year-old couple worked distantly. My father left for the U.S. and my mother stayed behind. When they were 22, my father returned and proposed over the phone, very unromantic. They got married in a small church in Jalisco and moved away from the town that followed the priest's orders. They moved to the U.S., had 3 children, and worked. They would go back to Mexico to visit grandmas, uncles, aunts, and what seemed to be an infinite amount of cousins. Sadly, my grandma, Mama Andrea, died last year on July 11, 2017. She was buried next to my grandfather, and even then, my mother never thought of this as sad. You build from the start. Yes, she was poor, but she loved her childhood. It was with no doubt my favorite days, she said. Yes, it was hard to work so much and leave school, but it made it so much worth it when she got her high school diploma this year. Yes, her dad died, and later did my grandma, but that was life. You push on and work with what you have to build on. My mother was a positive woman and still is. She is still positive. She wants to start a career as a chef, and this year, we're visiting Jalisco again, and once more, I'll see my mama Andrea.